Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Today we're on chapter 13 of my book, The Blood and the Glory, entitled, Pleading Our Case, Redeemed by the Blood. A great courtroom procedure has ensued since the fall of man. God the Father is God the judge of all. Hebrews 12:23. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is our advocate. 1 John 2:1-2. The American Heritage Dictionary defines advocate as one that argues for a cause, one that pleads in another's behalf, an intercessor. Satan is the prosecuting attorney, the accuser. God the Father is the judge. Jesus Christ is our advocate. And Satan's the prosecuting attorney, the accuser. Revelation 12:10-11 calls him the accuser of our brethren, who is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The title, the accuser of our brethren, reveals Satan's character, and therefore his ongoing activity. That's why I try not to listen to accusations against brethren. I know where they originate, and I fear to be found on the accuser's side in any matter. The Bible is the book of the law. Someone has said if man's redemption is to be real, it must be solidly lawful. Redemption is the crux of the matter. Adam exercised his free will and fell into the hand of the enemy. The blood of the Lamb redeemed man from Satan's hold and unto God and his plan. The American Heritage Dictionary gives this definition of redeem: to recover ownership of by paying a specified sum. As a child, I heard an evangelist tell a story which helped me understand redemption. A father and his small son worked together and built a toy boat. They whittled out its hull, painted it red, and attached a white sail. Then they enjoyed many happy hours sailing it in the river running through their village. Somehow the father died. When the boy sailed the boat alone, it brought back good memories. Until one day a big wind caught the little sail and carried the boat down the river faster than the boy could run after it. And out to sea it sailed. The boy missed his boat so much. For the long time it was gone. About Thanksgiving time, he was overjoyed to see his little boat appear in the toy shop window. He ran inside and said, "That's my little boat in the window. My father and I made it, and it was lost to the sea." The shop owner said, "The little boat was brought in by fishermen who found it. I'll let you have it for what it cost me." The boy had no money, but he went to work. He cut wood, he sold papers, he did everything he could think of to do. Each day he counted his money, and each day he held his breath as he passed the toy shop to see if the little boat were still there. At last, on Christmas Eve, he had enough money. But he wondered, had someone bought the little boat for a gift? How thankful he was to see it still in the window. When he came out of the shop, he clasped the little boat to his chest and cried, little boat, you are twice mine. I made you, and I bought you. God made us, and he redeemed us. He redeemed us not with silver and gold, but with precious blood. It is a far-reaching redemption. Not only are we delivered out of the hand of Satan, the Bible pointedly states our redemption is threefold. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We are redeemed, number one, from the curse of the law. Number two, we are redeemed to the blessing. Number three, we are redeemed that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The attacks of the accuser of the brethren are always in one of these three areas. He strives to rob us of our redemptive rights by attempting to bring the curse of the broken law upon us, poverty, sickness, and death. He strives to keep our inheritance, our blessing from us. He strives to prevent us from living in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit within. All this is legally ours. At the new birth, believers are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the light. We have redemption now through His blood. Colossians 1:13-14. We are citizens of heaven now. Philippians 3:20. We may live by the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which have set us free from the laws of sin and death. Romans 8:2. But Satan will not just roll over and let it happen for us. We are commanded to give him no place. Ephesians 4:27. He and his accusations are to be overcome with the blood of the Lamb, to which he has no defense. Grace Roos, who lived a supernatural, overcoming life, and even picked out the day she left earth for heaven without sickness or disease, wrote, "Satan has no answer to the blood of Jesus. He has no weapon to withstand it. Its devastating effect upon him. He is absolutely vulnerable to its overcoming power. Knowing this, he hides what is happening to him and seeks to deceive us into settling for less than we wanted. Legally, Satan was defeated at Calvary. So legally, we are his victors through Christ, who gave us power of attorney in Luke 10:19. However, Satan is not yet imprisoned, and so cunningly he works out his devilish craft to ever deceive and hide his limitations. Say so. Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Pleading the blood with our mouths lines up with this scripture. The Bible instructs us to say that we are redeemed. If the enemy tries to put the curse upon you, say that you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Say, for example, "I am redeemed from the curse of the law." You can't put that and name it on me, such as cancer, headache, bankruptcy. You can't put that on me. According to Deuteronomy 28:61, all sicknesses are the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, I am redeemed from the curse of the law, and I say so. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I overcome you, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is pleading the blood. In the courtroom scene, we have a witness. 1 John 5:8 declares that the blood is a witness. Again, from Mrs. Newsom, she wrote an old tract someone sent me. She wrote, "A witness is expected to speak. And Hebrews 12:24 tells us that the blood speaks. A witness or his testimony is always taken to the place of trial. Colossians 1:12 tells us that God, quote, hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in Christ. If Satan disputes this and seeks to keep us out of any part of our great inheritance, we are to ask that the witness, the blood of Jesus, be allowed to speak. And the blood will declare that Jesus bought it for us on the cross and that it is all ours. The next verse says that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness. If Satan tries to use his power over our spirit, soul, or body, we must call for the witness, and the blood will again speak to God for us and declare that Jesus on the cross fully delivered us from all the power of the enemy, so that he now has no power to put sin, sickness, pain, or disease upon us. If Satan tries to put some of the curse upon us or keep us from getting rid of some of the curse we had upon us, we are to call for the witness. The blood of Jesus will again testify that Christ set us free from all the curse when he was made a curse for us. It is the blood of the new covenant, the pledge that we are to have all that is promised in it. If Satan tries to keep us out of a promise of God, we are to call for the witness, and the blood will testify that Jesus bought the things promised, and his precious blood was the price paid. By faith, steadfastly holding the witnessing blood just where you want God to work, and let the precious blood of his dear son speak, testify, cry unto God for us. God worked mightily when the blood of Abel cried unto him. How much more powerfully he will work when it is the blood of his well-beloved son that cries. Stanley Frodsham, biographer of Smith Wigglesworth and longtime editor of the Pentecostal Evangel, wrote in an editorial, quote, "It is written, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame hell's dragon with the simple weapon of heaven's Lamb. When the dragon seeks to overcome you, take him to Calvary, where through that sacred blood his power was brought to naught. Magnify that blood, and the Lamb who shed the blood, give bold testimony to the power of that blood." Speaking of bold testimony, John Osteen, father of Joel Osteen, now lives in heaven, pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, boldness personified. I heard a minister say about him, the devil says every morning when John Osteen arises, oh no, he's up again. Brother Osteen's comments on Revelation 12:11 inspire boldness to all who read them in his book, Unraveling the Mystery of the Blood Covenant. Brother Osteen wrote, "The blood of Jesus says, you have victory. After you become a covenant person, Revelation 12:11 takes on new meaning. It tells you how you can overcome the devil. You overcome him by three things. First, by the blood of the Lamb. When the devil comes against you, hold up your Bible and say to him, 'Devil, I want you to see this. This is God's everlasting blood covenant that Jesus cut for me. Christ's righteousness has been imparted to me. All God's power and blessings are mine. I command and charge you, Satan, look at that blood. You are already defeated.' Second, by the word of their testimony, you can boldly say, 'Satan, I dare to stand on God's promises. It is written, they are tried and proven. I'm a covenant person, and God will not break his word with me.' Thirdly, they love not their lives unto the death. These Christians made an unqualified commitment to God. All God had was theirs, and all they had was his. They were covenant men, covenant women. They were willing to even sacrifice their own lives, if necessary, to live for Jesus and tell others about his way of living. You don't overcome Satan by your tenacity. You don't overcome him by your good works. You don't overcome him by your goodness. You don't overcome him by your own holiness or righteousness. You don't overcome him by your mental agility. You overcome him by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just present that blood to Satan and say, 'See the blood, devil? The one who shed this blood crushed your head and took your power, and he's my Lord.' Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks to you today. It cries out, 'You are justified. You are redeemed. You have peace. You have God's prosperity. You have eternal salvation. You are clean. You are washed, and you have the victory.' Hallelujah. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow. Under the blood, the precious blood.